It feels good to be back. This is the Council Connection. I'm your host, Fabian Vicks, and on today's episode, we have Tariel Key from Illinois School Council Association, president-elect. We'll be dropping by talking about some things he's doing as going to be doing as president and his role in DEI, which is diversity, equity, and inclusion. We also have Crystal Newby from Maryland, who was a DEI coordinator for NACAC, and she's going to be talking about her role and how DEI can be better implemented in different situations. We're also going to have my final thought on the Capitol riots, as well as my housekeeping items. And of course, new year, we have a new intro. Please drop a line and see if you like it or not. Let's go.
In the streets like it's common sense. Stack the money heads up like it's second nature. Gotta stay pulled up like it's second nature. Keep a chip in my hair like it's second nature. Big Bunda make me step like second nature.
As we start semester two, I just want everybody to, I hope you're safe and hope you had a great holiday, week, and took that time to relax and refresh and not worry about anything but yourself and your family. We're coming into semester two where we still don't know what's going on with the vaccine, and we're trying to figure out what we can do to help our kids be successful this semester versus last semester. And is it going to be more of the same? We don't know. It's going to be difficult. But just know that this, what we all are doing, is not in vain for our kids. The main question you should be asking, does this positively affect my kiddos? But at the same time, we got to make sure that we are safe, we are healthy, we are keeping ourselves sane, to say it lightly. We need to make sure we take care of ourselves this semester. It was a tough 4 or 5 months for everybody. We're doing things a different way, which is, to me, in my way of doing things, there's nothing wrong with reinventing the wheel or creating a new tire. This past semester, to me, showed me that I'm a pretty doggone good counselor. I'm pretty good at what I do. But at the same time, there are things I can still get better at. Yeah, I know some of it's hard to do groups virtually because they won't show up, or individual sessions, or check-in, check-outs with scholars. But that's okay. I've always been taught, and all of my statements, if you can affect one kid, if you can fit one student, you made a difference. And as long as you fit that one student a day, you did your job. And this semester gonna be just as hard as last semester, maybe a little bit harder because we might be administering state mandated tests in April, May. And I don't know how that's gonna look. Mr. Biden takes office on the 20th. We'll see. Might be another waiver this year for testing. We don't know. But the one thing I do know is, if we made it the last semester, we can do it again this semester. And we can do it. Just be safe and continue to protect yourselves and your family. That's the most important thing. You can't be available to kids when you're not available to yourself. I got a couple interviews coming up. I got Tariel Key and Crystal Newby discussing DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. First one's going to be Tariel Key. Keep it locked. We'll be right back. And welcome to the Council Connection. I am your host, Fabian Vicks, and I have a very special guest from the great state of Illinois. I have Tariel Key on here. Tariel, what's going on, man?
Nothing much. Nothing much. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, man. It's a Tuesday. We're trying to make it the last 7 days in the wake up, so that way I can throw my laptop in the room I don't ever use. So I don't have to for those folks that don't know you, tell us a little bit about yourself as far as where you're from, where you got your counseling degrees from, your why, that type of stuff.
All right. So my name is Tariel Key. I am in my 10th year as a school counselor. I graduated from the Lindenwood University, master's in school counseling. Right now I'm working on my EDS and admin. The reason why I decided to become a school counselor is because a couple things. In high school, I realized that I didn't really have the help that I needed in order to get to where I wanted to be, and I wanted to help people that way. Also, just crazy, like one day I ended up substitute teaching like while I was in college, and I realized again, because I was majoring in business at the time in marketing, and I realized again, like, you know, like I really have a passion for working with kids. So it just ended up working out the way that it was supposed to work out, you know. That's kind of how it went with me.
Okay, cool. Steve hooked us up a couple weeks ago as far as connect and get the word out, which the great things you're doing in Illinois, especially with ASCA. We're going to get into that in a moment. But the one question I wanted to ask you is, we're getting into the DEI with that, but where do you see that as far as equity, as far as more male school counselors in the profession?
I feel like we need to get more middle school counselors in the profession, because the thing is, I mean, like our boys, man, they need somebody that could relate to. Two, like education in general, like is definitely very female dominant, especially in counseling. So having some representation there, like when it comes to meeting with these boys and talking to them and approaching them where they're at, I feel like we could definitely contribute like in a major way, like when it comes to just being a male counselor, especially a black male counselor. In our high schools, because our boys need us.
Yeah, I agree, man. I've been trying to push for that for the last couple of years, but we could go on for days and talk about that. I want to get into the work that you are doing with ASCA and DEI. For those that might not know what that is and what it stands for and what it includes, can you give us a little bit of information?
Yes. So this summer, ASCA formed a diversity, equity, and inclusion committee. And with incredible counselors from all over the United States, like, I mean, just mind blowing, incredibly talented counselors. And what they've been having us do are like newspaper interviews. We've been writing articles like on diversity and equity inclusion. We've been like doing trainings. Like, so I've done College Board as a national training, Raise Me. So they're really having us get out in front and kind of like, you know, spread the word. I also feel like some of it, like because we're doing so much, like I did Washington Post not that long ago, you know, like doing some of these interviews might show, you know, like some of our young males that this is a pathway. I think some of it is just the fact that people can't, like our kids sometimes can't see themselves in these types of roles and stuff like that because there's no representation. But with us out front leading the way on that, I feel like there's a great pathway. And then also just I feel like, you know, a lot of times, like some of the articles that I'm writing, they're talking about like really decolonizing our minds and like and being able to be happy with being ourselves and like how that should be, you know, a way like you don't have to subscribe to middle class white culture in order to be smart or intelligent or valuable. You could be cool and still be smart and do all of these other things and help each other. So there's a lot of different ways that we can approach this. And that's kind of what my article focused on. Like, that's more than one way to skin a cat. Like, you know, like, so I talked a lot about like, you know, like in counseling, a lot of times there's we focus so much on the individual. But a lot of times, like with different cultures, like the collective is just as important. So that's one of the things that I kind of got into with that. But I could go on for days about like the work that we're doing with diversity, equity, inclusion. So wherever you want to go with it, just let me know.
Now, out of those three initials, which one to you is the most pertinent right now?
Oh, man, I would say equity. I mean, like, you know, like being included at the table, like that's one way to get to equity. Like having diversity for diversity's sake really doesn't mean anything. Just because you're on there, if you're not able to make any decisions or like to really create any impact, then diversity doesn't really mean anything. It just means that you're there. I would say equity, like fighting for equal treatment, liberation, basically, like just being able to be yourself and be who you are, who your talent, like your, utilize your gifts in the way that you want to use them. Talk the way that you want to talk, you know, like do the things that you want to do and still be intelligent and still be able to lead and do all those different things. I feel like that's more important than just having diverse people there or just being included in the conversation. Having equity means that you're able to actually like influence things and impact change, affect change.
Okay. Give me one way that can be possible. Well, I can't talk right now.
You're fine. So,
give me one tool that we can do or one way we can get me closer to being able to be more equitable as far as our diaspora of African Americans.
Well, the thing that I do, like, honestly now is I use data, like, because, you know, men lie, women lie, but numbers don't. So a lot of times I'm able to show, like, through, like, the, you know, like, the you know, like, the results, basically. You look at behavioral data, you look at test scores, you look at AP class placements, you look at those different things, and when you continuously have a group of people being marginalized, then it's not just that group of people, like, you know, it's the system. If you put fish in water and they just keep dying, like you don't say, man, there's something wrong with the fish. You know that you got the wrong kind of water in there. So we need to change the water and make it a place where our kids can grow. Like, you know, our kids can succeed. I can't hear you.
I'm on mute. I'm so used to not.
You're fine.
I'm rounding my horn, around the horn myself. You're doing some article for Ask also. It gives a little bit more details on what that entails.
Yeah. So that article, it just came out in the November, December edition. It's called Cultural Competency in Post-Secondary Planning. And, I was approached by ASCA and they asked for an article that would basically explain like how like counselors could misinterpret like with different cultures, like the college going process. Sometimes people think that our kids aren't interested in going to college or they're not interested in school or whatever. But like really, like, you know, like one, like outside of just individualism and collectivism, like you also have to look at representation when people haven't seen themselves succeed in these areas and that, you know, and people are graduating from college but not finding jobs, you know, whether it's because of their name or inequitable hiring practices, like, you know, like you're selling kids a dream that they don't know is actually going to be, you know, realized. And you're asking them to have faith that, you know, the educational system is not going to play them again. So, you know, like we're asking those kids to do something, to see something later on, you know, and, you know, like, and we might, you know, we've experienced success in education, but that doesn't mean that other people haven't run into like constant hurdles over and over again. So really, I feel like, you know, like the article is mainly just focusing on listening to the student and meeting the kid where they're at. And then helping them find solutions for themselves instead of solutions that work for you, you know, along the way as a counselor, like just really meeting the individual where they're at.
What would you think would be the toughest thing about making sure that the right fit for our students? Because I know our generation or my generation say you need to go to college, get an education, get a great job. That is not so now. There's kids making millions of dollars doing YouTube videos, or they go get an apprenticeship as electricians.
Yeah, trade school. Counselors. Yeah.
How do we break that, I guess, that stereotypical logic of you need to go to college, do something with yourself, versus I know what I need to do. What can we do as counselors to help those students find the right fit for them?
So like when it comes to finding fit, I think the first most important thing is to listen. Like, what is the kid interested in? What are they passionate about? Like, so I had a student not that long ago, like, you know, he was really passionate about trains. Right. And, you know, but he thought that he wanted to be an engineer. But it turns out, like, you know, as I'm listening to the stories, I'm like, man, it sounds like you really want to be a train conductor. Right. Like, and it does. And you don't really seem like you want to go to college. Is that what I'm hearing? And he felt like his parents were forcing him to go to college. So, you know, like, so, and I knew he was kind of worried about talking to his parents about it. So we kind of all talked about it and I showed him a pathway because he wants to work for Amtrak now. So like, he's doing that. Like, I think the main thing is just hearing the kids out, like, you know, meeting them where they are, like, because those solutions kind of find themselves. You allow the student to find the solution for themselves. You talk them through it, listen to them. Another thing is, like, just over time, like, having more representation, like, showing the kids people that look like them. Like, I have a kid that wants to be a lawyer, and he turns out he wants to be a corporate lawyer. I happen to know, you know, some corporate lawyers. So, like, introducing him to people that look like him that have similar experiences so that he can see that it's a real pathway for him. Because a lot of times, like, you just see it on TV, and we're not, to be honest, we're not represented a lot, you know? So, like, just being able to see that this is a way that you can go. And when you get there, just reach back and pull somebody else with you.
And I just, that's big for us, especially with our brown and black boys. We need somebody that's going to look like them, mm-hmm. and don't have to just, and just guide them. Don't push them like, hey, you need to go to college, or you need right. to basketball, football, baseball, hockey, field hockey, lacrosse. That's the only way you get somewhere. Like, no, there's plenty of different avenues. And I totally agree with you as far as we just got to make sure we just got to be there and guide them on that part.
Yeah. And like the thing is, like, you look at where you see us. Sports and entertainment, you know what I mean? Like, so when they see success, when they see people that look like them, sports and entertainment. But it's not so much in education. Education right now is about 80% white, you know? So the people that they see every single day might not look like them. They're not from the community all the time. So, like, you know, just that's why one of the reasons why we're important.
Now I'm gonna go to the last topic before we get you off the call. You are right now president-elect. You and Joe Biden have that in common. You are president-elect right now for the Illinois School Council Association. What is your give me one vision that you have or goal when your term starts on July 1?
I want to make sure that we have the best counselors, like, statewide, like, that we possibly can have for our students. So I plan on using, like, the MTSS model, right? So having tier one supports for all counselors. So, like, that's going to be, like, your competencies, your mindsets that come directly from the Ask a National model. Outside of it, like, we have people that have specific needs that are not being met. So those are your rural counselors, the like counselors from diverse backgrounds. That's your graduate students and things like that, right? So then having trainings that are facilitated by people in those areas to meet their needs in those specific areas. And then also, like, maybe having a tier three crisis management training. So, like, when, like, something like the murder of George Floyd happens, then we have, like, a team in place that already knows how to respond to those things. Like, we already have responses planned. If there's a national tragedy, if there's something like that, then we're already, like, a step ahead. Like, we have some people that are ready to coordinate and step forward on, you know, behalf of what's happening. So that's kind of what I see, organization.
I have a follow-up question to your MTSS tier for counselors. How does that apply to as far as rural counselors and new counselors and possibly counselors that might be in dual locations that might be in a middle school, two different elementary schools, or mm-hmm. sharing with a middle and high school, or those counselors that might be the only one, might be a district so small, their school is all K through 12. How would that apply to your MTSS process?
So that would be, like, in my mind, like a tier two thing. So, like, we have regional reps, right? So within the regions, like, they all have different needs, and our regions are kind of similar sometimes in nature. So a lot of times, like, with the more rural areas, like, you're going to have that where, like, you might have one council of 600 students K through 12, you know, and then having them provide trainings that approach it from their lens instead of, like, the big city multi-counselor lens, like, where you have all of these additional supports, you know, like, around you. So, like, how do you approach it when you're the only counselor there? How do you do this? How do you schedule appointments? How do you handle scholarships? How do you navigate through testing and all of those different things? But hearing it from that perspective, because a lot of times, like, the people that are doing the trainings, they're from your Chicago's or the St. Louis metro area and stuff like that. So just allowing them, like, you know, like, one, encouraging them to step forward and be leaders, because, you know, sometimes, like, people don't feel like, you know, I'm capable of doing this, but, like, they are. Like, counselors are leaders. Like, we are advocates. Like, we are those things. So just pushing people to step forward and try new things, basically. You're on mute.
Round the horn myself again. I'm so used to make sure I don't have no background sound coming in there. Just keep forgetting that joke though. But, man, I appreciate you hopping on with me today, man. I know you're busy at high school and doing a lot of things, and you're busy, man. You got a lot of things on your plate. I like you got a good plan for ISCA for next year and everything. So, mm-hmm. anyway, I get a discounted rate for coming to the conference.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm gonna see if I can turn a proposal in for on real though. Let's see if I can turn a proposal in and see if I can pop in. That's my another goal of mine, is to present more nationally possibly.
Mm-hmm.
Just ask them to keep me down. If they listen to my podcast, I don't care. But turn it down. But you know, Mr. Key, I appreciate you popping on, man. I appreciate you.
Not a problem. Anytime, man. Anytime you need me, just let me know.
No problem. And we'll be right back with more Council Connection right after this. All right, welcome back to the Council Connection. I am your host, Fabian Biggs. I have a wonderful guest on with me now. I have Crystal Newby from the great state of Maryland with me today. Crystal, how are you doing?
I am doing well. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. And before we get started on our little chat, just give the listeners a little bit of background about yourself, you know, your professional career and, you know, that type of stuff, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. So currently, I am the Director of Diversity, Equity, Inclusion at the National Association for College Admission Counseling, otherwise known as NACAC, which I'm sure your listeners are a little familiar with. And we're located in Arlington, Virginia. But I've been at NACAC for 7.5 years. But prior to that, I did spend 9 years in college admissions. So I worked at the University of Scranton, which is my alma mater. And I also did my graduate degree, my master's degree at Scranton. And then I worked at Montclair State University in New Jersey. And then prior to coming to NACAC, I worked at Bloomsburg University, which is a state school in Pennsylvania. And so that's the short end, the very short version of my career right now.
Okay, let me ask you this. What is your role as a director of the DEI?
Absolutely. So this actually is a brand new role to NACAC. This is not a role that we've had in the past. And so really, you know, bringing this role to our organization is, it's needed. And it's needed in a lot of organizations, especially nowadays. And so really in my role is to be able to look at our organization internally as well as externally to see where our needs are and where the gaps may be when it comes to DEI. And so I believe, you know, from my standpoint, I've been in this role for a full week now, officially, but I have done some of this work during my tenure at NACAC. And what I think is important is that we as an organization have to be able to look at ourselves internally regarding DEI so that we can make any necessary changes in terms of processes or whatever the case may be, so that we can effectively serve our members externally. And so that's a lot of the work that I'm going to be doing. And it'll still include some of my previous responsibilities, you know, overseeing our Guiding the Way to Inclusion program and continuing to oversee our brand new Anti-Racist Education Institute series as well.
This brings me to a great question for you right here. I know you've been on the job all of 1 week.
1 week.
1 week. I know this probably might be a difficult question, might be an easy one for you. What is the most challenging thing that you're seeing right now? Before you, matter of fact, you probably used previous experience before you took the position. What's going to be the challenge part of DEI going forward since you're in this position now?
I think from like a broader perspective, even looking at DEI as a whole and as organizations are implementing it, I think there's always that challenge of getting everyone on board. And that's regardless of where you work. I think that, you know, I'm a little biased. I have really great colleagues at NACAC. And from my perspective where I sit right now, I think a lot of my colleagues are going to be open to some of these new processes and trainings and things that I'm going to be leading, facilitating. But I think overall, there's always going to be, you know, a couple of folks who aren't quite on board yet. They may think that DEI really doesn't apply to them or apply to what their role is within an organization. And that might be the same feeling from some of my colleagues who are at NACAC. They may not fully see or fully understand that regardless of where they are positioned within the organization, how DEI really affects the work that they do. And so I think that may be a little bit of a challenge, but I'm excited to take it on and to be able to help you know, our colleagues see, you know, the importance of DEI, again, regardless of where you may be positioned within the organization.
I want to follow up on that question. Which part of the DEI is going to be the hardest one for you in your new role? Which acronym?
Oh, goodness. I think there's challenges to each one, right? But I think one of the pieces that I really want us to work on is going to be the inclusion piece. And I say that because one of my colleagues outside of NACAC, who has done DEI work for a number of years, she shared this great quote with me about 4 years ago that says, diversity is the mix and inclusion is making the mix work. And so that's what keeps standing out in the forefront of my mind, right? Because it's important to have diverse staff members within an organization, right? And you can say, yes, we are diverse. You know, we have this many number of women within our organization, this many number of men, or this many number of BIPOC individuals. But are those voices being heard where they need to be heard? Are they being included in those crucial conversations? Those conversations at the top. And so I think that's something important that not just our organization has to consider, but many other organizations when they're talking about DEI efforts. Yes, your office may be diverse, but are those voices being included at the table? And so I think that's, you know, probably the piece that we'll be working on.
I do that all the time. Keep consistent.
That's all right.
One last question before we get you going. Do you see an end date or end game for us DEI being across the board in education or NACAC or anything we do? Do you see a date where we can actually reach that goal?
Gosh, no. And I say that, you know, not to be pessimistic, but I think we're always going to be working with DEI. I think that's just something that has to be included moving forward. We're always going to have these conversations. Hopefully there comes a time where it does become old hat per se, and we're just having these conversations naturally. But I always think that there's going to be that underlying need to have these conversations until we can really get to a place where all the necessary voices are at the table and need to be heard. And we don't maybe have to have such large conversations. It just happens naturally. But I don't know that there's ever going to be an end date per se. I just think it's something we're always going to have to work on. And hopefully as we continue to do this work over the years and over these next generations, it'll just come naturally and it'll just be easier, you know, to have these conversations. That's what I hope.
Ms. Newby, I want to appreciate you taking the time out of this Monday morning. Mondays are so wonderful. So I appreciate you taking a few minutes to talk with me about your new position in DEI. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
It's no problem. We'll be right back with more Council Connection right after this.
This is part of the show where I do my housekeeper items. I haven't done it in a while, so I might be rusted because I can't remember everywhere that my podcast is located on. But if you bear with me, I will tell you where you can find my podcast on besides Anchor. And Anchor is a great app to use for recording your podcast. And you can do a lot of editing in there as far as you can create your own interludes, add music to your sessions, that type of stuff. You can find it on Breaker, Google Podcast, Radio Public, Overcast, Spotify, and of course Apple Podcasts. There might be a couple other different places where you can find it at, but you can go to those different places, use that platform and subscribe to my podcast. When a new episode pops up, you'll get it. On God, as the kids say, on God. On everything, on me, as the kids say. You can also leave a message with us through my Anchor app. You go to anchor.fm/Fabian-Vix. Leave a message on there about anything, about the episode you listen to, any topics you want to do. So if you go to anchor.fm/Fabian, that's Fabion -Vix, You can leave a message on whatever you want to talk about. Leave a message on the intro, the new intro we're introducing this year, or anything that you guys want to talk about. If you want to, any ideas what we want to talk about at this next podcast, or you want to talk about some feelings on this episode, or anything you want to leave on there, please use this feature on there. It's pretty cool. I love your feedback. I appreciate those that do listen to podcasts. I want you to leave some feedback on there. I take all criticism and use it for the best and to become better. Okay. You also follow me on the Twitter at Fabe the PSC. That's F as in Frank, A B as in Boy, E the PSC. You can follow me on Twitter that way. You can follow me on Fabe the Counselor .weebly.com. That's my webpage. You can also, if you're on Facebook, you can just go to Council Connection with Fabian Vicks. That's my Facebook page. Like the page there. Put different content on there as much as possible. It's just trying to be better and give the people what they want, especially my counselors out there that are newer veterans. Just trying to do something. Try to get through this, and I'm trying to learn something as well, too. Anybody that wants to be a guest on the show, just hit me up on like the Facebook or the Twitter, or leave a message on here like, hey, I want to be on your podcast, and just leave your name, or if you got a Twitter handle, I'll follow it, and I hope you'll follow me back as well. With that being said, my final thought on the Capitol riots is coming up next. Fabe's final thought. So, if you have been living in a rock, or under a rock, excuse me, you probably did not know about the Capitol riots on January 6th. And I'm a political science major, and I never really cared about my degree, really. I want to be a lawyer, but that's neither here nor there. The last week and a half to me have been the most captivating, most scary, most information, most drive I've had in my major since I started taking it. And a lot of things that I've learned from this is a good bit of stuff that I already knew either by looking at the Constitution or looking at some movies that delve into a couple of those amendments, like the 25th Amendment we heard a lot of. If the president is incapable of fulfilling his duties of the office, 3/4 of his cabinet must vote for his removal, including the vice president. Also learned about impeachment. I already knew about impeachment. Some folks don't realize just because you get impeached doesn't mean you're automatically out of office. You got to have a trial and you got to be convicted. As you saw that Mr. Trump has been impeached for a second time, the first sitting president to ever be impeached twice. You're probably thinking, why did he get impeached a second time? Second time's for basically inciting a riot of insurrection on the United States. And we could go into depth as far as, is that treason? Is that terrorism? Some folks are like, how? That's freedom of speech. Well, true and false. You could say what you want to say, but there's also going to be consequences with what you say, is which what happened at the Capitol building, where right now 5 people are dead right now, and we're sitting at what, 70 arrests and 300 open cases. And we're also looking at possible conspiracy from various congressmen that gave tours to some people that were there for the insurrection. I'm appalled. I'm shocked. I'm also not surprised, because this has been building up since, you really want to say, 2015, when the current president was running for office, and his hatred for Obama and the Congress's hatred for Obama. Is that hatred because he's a smart African American man, or is it just the hatred for him just for being black? They were plotting against President Obama the day he did his inauguration speech in 2009. Think about this. Obama had really 2 years to get some things done, and then after that, gridlock. he had to use executive order powers to put some things across, but they'll complain about that. But Trump used so much executive power in his first year or two, it made no sense how much he used that power. I could go in here and bash the current president right now, but what good would that do? We know who he is. We know what he's about. It goes back to the Central Park 5, where he vehemently accused them of raping that woman, and they didn't do it. Even with DNA evidence to prove they were innocent, he conducted a witch hunt on those guys. His fair housing practices have been a thing of disbeauty, and disbeauty is not a word. We can look at his, pretty much his cabinet, we can look at his staff, we can look at anything you want. I know I'm switching real quick with a bad transition, but this episode is about DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. If you look at President Obama's picture of his staff and his interns versus Donald Trump's staff and interns, you can see a light and dark difference. And I'm not using that as a pun. You can see how different those staffs are. We could look at, do we have the right representation as the Speaker of the House? Do we have the same old good old boy system where we put the same people in charge that's been in charge for 30, 40 years? And do we need to put a cap on Congress people to have positions? Do we need to put a cap on justices? I don't know. But looking at January 6th, it has me thinking a lot of things. Like, the president has a lot of power. It doesn't feel like Obama uses power wisely. George Bush is not as bad as Trump. Bill Clinton did some good things, except for the crime bill, of course, and Whitewater. But George H.W. Bush, you know, no new taxes and brought in new taxes. Ronald Reagan, Star Wars program, you know, just ain't no drugs. Problem is, though, you know, pushing drugs through the African-American communities and killing and destroying those communities with that insertion of drugs. You know, we go a whole lot of different directions. And why is this bringing me to January 6th? We have to make some changes as far as leadership in federal government. We need to put a cap on career congressmen that don't do anything for their constituents. We need to put a cap on how long a justice can serve in the United States Supreme Court. We need to put a cap on speakers of the House. We need to put a cap on House Representatives, Senators. So these things we need to put a cap on, because think about it. Clarence Thomas has been a justice for 28 years, and he really shouldn't have been a justice. The lady, Amy Barrett Cohen, I believe that's her name, the one that just became a justice a few months ago, right before the election. She had 2 years of being a judge. She shouldn't have no business being a Supreme Court justice. Merrick Garland, a nominee for Attorney General, should have been a justice, but the Republicans said, no, we need to wait till the election. But his nomination came in February. This woman's nomination came in September, right before the election. This is what January 6th gave to me, a different outlook on how long these politicians are running for office and don't do anything. I've already known they didn't do anything. I already know they sat in office for a long time. But this is, right now, this is something we need to look at, as far as we need to put a cap on how long these folks can run. Austin Scott is the representative from my region. and I live in middle Georgia, and he beat out Jim Marshall. I have not seen Austin Scott not one time since they voted out Jim Marshall. I think it was 2014, maybe 2015, somewhere around there. So it had to be around Super Tuesday. Not Super Tuesday. One of those major 2 years. So I think it was 2012, 2014. I haven't seen him make it one time. I'm still surprised I know his name. Which goes to, how do we talk to our kids about January 6th? You could talk about the riots. You could talk about how this is homegrown terrorism. You could talk about the conspiracies. But what you need to be talking to them about is how your voice is going to matter when you get ready to vote, when you hit 18. You need to talk about, know the facts about your representatives. You need to talk about, know the things that you need for your community, things for yourself and your family, and find the right candidate to vote. Don't not vote because you don't like neither candidate. You still need to vote because still makes your voice matter. So just, it gave me a different perspective on politics and political science and constitutional law January 6th did, but I'm still going to continue to use my voice like I'm doing my podcast, talk to my kids at school about different things. But for those out there, if you're trying to figure out where to go with January 6th, tell them when they get older to vote, go to the polls. That's where they need to go. Go to the polls. And vote like your life depended on it. I want to thank you for listening to my podcast. I want to thank Tariel Key and Crystal Newby for popping on. And I'm out.
In the streets like it's common sense. Stack the money heads up like it's second nature. Gotta stay pulled up like it's second nature. Keep a chip in my hair like it's second nature. Big wonder make me step like second nature.